guys, and welcome to another edition of the Latin Babbler Show. I am your host, the Latin Babbler, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, Tigra. Sound it off.
Hello, 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 everyone.
Miss Rocky.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
And El Bojique.
What up, fam and Yahoo? I'm so excited today to have El Tocayo, Jaime Zavalos, on the Latin Babbler Show. What?
And joining us is an actor and filmmaker who was born in Lima, Peru, and is known for his role of Father Francis Xavier Delgado in Marvel's Cloak and Dagger. Please welcome Jaime Ceballos.
Man, that's legit, man. I feel really honored and what a privilege.
Yo, so you were born in Lima, Peru. How long were you there?
I was, man. I was born in Jesus Maria in Lima. I came to New York. I actually came to Miami first, but I was 3 years old. Three and a half, I think.
Three and a half? Everybody goes to Miami first.
Yeah, it's Miami. for like a month. And then, you know, and then I went to Queens.
Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, you still have
New York.
Yeah. Right? New York and then Queens. So he hit both of our territories.
Yeah.
He was like Miami, and now I'm gonna suffer in the cold. He's like,
yeah. Went to Queens from Miami, but I was only there for 3 months, and then you know I grew up mainly in Queens.
Okay, I mean, do you still have family back in Peru? Do you like visit often?
I do. I have a lot of family. I have like more family than I can even mention. But yeah, I have my grandma's still alive. I have a lot of family, like literally in like the house that my mom was raised. Like we still, you know, it's like a family heirloom at this point, you know?
Oh, that's awesome.
That's nice.
It's pretty dope. Yeah.
You became an actor. How long before you decided, you know what, this is what I want to do?
Well, it's a little bit like different for me. I think I started working as an actor. I grew up always loving movies, and I thought like I would build sets in movies or something like that because I had really no aspirations to work in the movie industry. But I used to love movies and reenact things, but I guess I was always an actor and didn't know it. But when I was about 18, I was a very infamous graffiti artist in New York, and we had this mayor named Giuliani. I guess he was good for something. You know, he definitely helped clean up New York, but in him cleaning New York, he made graffiti like a felony. And so I kept getting in trouble. And then I was like, man, I'm really going to get a criminal record here because they just give you like a slap on the wrist. It was like I had to really come to a decision in my life and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I was very lucky that I picked up this, for anyone listening, there used to be something called the Ross Reports. And I picked this thing up.
I remember that.
You remember that? I picked up the Ross Reports and I went into New York City. I took the train and I went into an agent's office and I got signed and I started working on a series on MTV and kind of like the rest is history.
Man, that's crazy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you find it was a lot easier then to be able to find work than it is now?
Man, no, it's easier now. Like, hell, no way. Like, you know, it was the days of like black and white headshots.
No, listen, I could have had a shot in a Madonna video, but you needed the whole portfolio, the whole gamut. And if you didn't have the wherewithal to have that gamut, you didn't get it. Whereas today you have social media and everything else, or if you have still shots, this, that, and the other on social media, you'll get shot. You know,
my agent used to make all the actors, like, I'm no joke, like, if you had an audition, he would give us headshots from his other clients, and we would have to drop them off at casting director's office.
That's nice. Crazy.
That was crazy.
So he could save money on, like, you know, one of the, like, those delivery services.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, I think it's easy. It's an easier time now, more convenient.
So now every actor goes through the grind, and then you finally get casted as Father Francis Xavier Delgado.
Oh, yeah.
In the series Cloak and Dagger. Now, I know that my daughter's an actress, so sometimes they hide the names of what you're auditioning for. Did you know that you were auditioning for Cloak and Daggers?
Hell no. No, I didn't know. It's funny, like, you know, because I play a priest on the show, and I don't know if you guys are like believe in like have a form of spirituality or whatever, like the universe.
Absolutely.
It was an interesting thing because I had moved back to New York. I was in LA for about 10 years, and I moved back to New York. So I moved to Manhattan in 2017. And when I moved back to New York, I had this, like, I kind of started from scratch in New York. I left all my agencies, my managers, and I just kind of wanted to study again. And I remember getting this random audition from a casting director that they had liked my stuff for something else that I had done. And I saw the thing and it was called like Lieutenant Diaz. So it's like a military guy.
Yeah.
And I remember, I was like, man, I don't think I did that good. And I remember like meditating on that. And I never do this with auditions. I do them and I let them go. But I couldn't let go of this one. And I was like, man, I really think I dropped the ball on that one. I should have done more for this role. And I was like fasting and meditating just because I do that sometimes. And I was like, man, if there like there's another chance to like audition for this, I'm going to work my butt off. And about a month later, I get a random call. I magically get this audition, right, a month later. And when that audition comes in, it was the same audition for this lieutenant that I had been like praying and meditating that I wanted it again. And the funny thing is, I asked what happened to the casting director and they said, you know, this never happens. They like switched the casting director, I think. So that tape that I sent, no one saw it.
Oh, like it just disappeared.
It's in space somewhere.
That's awesome.
And I was like, man, this is my time. I got to work on this thing for some reason. And again, I didn't even know it was for a TV show. I had no idea what it was for, but I knew I liked this role. And so I remember doing the work. And that came about really fast, that job. And I'll land the plane with it. I winded up, for anybody who, you know, if you know what an Actors Access profile is, I hadn't changed my Actors Access profile since I had moved back to New York. They thought I was in LA. So then they said, listen, you got to come in for ABC for a test tomorrow morning. And I had a callback for a play. And I remember I was like, I have to decide, do I have to go back to this callback for a play or just, you know, figure it out? I remember my wife was out of town and I was like, all right, I got to get to JFK and I got to get. And I remember when I landed in LA, it was like 2:30 in the morning. Yeah, red eye, last minute flight. And thank God I had those miles, those credit card miles. And I remember I was like, I cannot call a friend in the world because I need to like practice and really zone in. And at this point, I knew it was for a Marvel series. I knew that much. I didn't know anything else than that. And they apparently had been looking for this role, for this character, for a long time. And anyway, long story short, I got like an Airbnb in North Hollywood, and it wasn't even a room. It was the dude's living room. He said it was a private room.
No way. What?
I swear to God, it was like a blow up mattress, and he put shower curtains around it. And I go, where's the room?
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. I go, this is the room, man. And I go, all right, no complaints. I slept like 2 or 3 hours, and I got to the ABC studios in Burbank. I think I like walked halfway there. It was like a really long walk, I remember. And it was like 2 or 3 hours. And I was just like in my head. And then funny, we're going to put Peru into this right now. As I'm leaving the thing, I didn't want to, you know, I have a lot of friends in LA. And, you know, it could be really distracting sometimes. Like, you know, LA is a, are you guys in LA?
Yeah, I'm in LA.
Yeah, we're in Florida.
Gotcha, gotcha. So I said, I want to really spend time by myself in LA while I'm here. I'm like a tourist again. And I got invited to a random screening of a movie called Iquitos. And this is about ayahuasca, the movie.
What? I saw that movie.
You seen it?
Yeah. Ayahuasca, the movie? Yeah.
It's called Iquitos something. It's all about ayahuasca.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm there, there's this ayahuasca like, this like mainly like white people, white shamans,
mm-hmm.
talking about the benefits of ayahuasca.
Right.
And I remember my phone was turned up like down, you know, so I didn't want to like, cause it was like a screening and shit. So I didn't want like my phone, like the light
disrupting.
The
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I remember while I was watching this movie about ayahuasca, they were talking about like visualization and stuff like that. So I had this weird visual of me on a plane to Louisiana, and I'd never been to Louisiana in my life. And when the movie was over, we were talking about visualization and the power of visualization. And when I turned my phone the other way, I had 16 missed calls. And it was I had signed with this manager already, and she was like, Jaime, do you want to take the offer or not? And I go, man, it's a Saturday. Like, I just want to be by myself or like whatever. She's like, yo, They need you on a plane tomorrow to Louisiana.
Wow. That's crazy.
I'm a big believer in that. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was just like, I was getting ready to go back to New York. And she's like, no. And then they called me from Marvel. And so I didn't go back to New York. I was back in, I moved to Louisiana for like that. 6 months.
That's crazy. It worked out, right? Like perfect timing for like everything that you wanted.
Yeah, but it was a big struggle though, like to get that, you know, from New York, getting on a red eye, walking to the studio. It was just like a nutty experience.
You showed God that you wanted that part, and He gave it to you. Yeah. That's what it meant.
I guess so. Yep. I guess that's pretty, I guess that's what happened.
So I'm pretty sure that's opened up some like really huge doors. So what are you working on now?
Right now, I'm actually going to Miami to shoot an Amazon series.
Let's go.
Oh.
Yeah. They're going to be shooting in Fort Lauderdale.
Nice.
In Fort Lauderdale. They actually started shooting today. I'm playing a detective in that. I thought I was leaving this week, but I think I'm leaving the end of April. I go to Miami. So
welcome to Miami.
You got to hit the rest of the crew. Yeah, they're absolutely. All from there.
Oh, we gotta kick it. Yeah, my parents moved back to Florida. They moved to they live in Brooklyn.
Down the street
from my house.
There you go.
Over there.
Yeah, by Publix.
That's crazy. All right, so let's get into this episode because we're now heading to our fourth stop in our Latin Babbler World Tour or Latin World Tour. Today, we showcase the beautiful country of Peru, and as always, we will give you some fun facts, talk food, give you some great locations to visit. The entire show is dedicated to showcasing the absolutely breathtaking country of Peru, and I mean breathtaking. Between archaeological and beauty, there's no comparison. So let's start with our fun facts, and Jaime's going to join us on all of these, and if I'm wrong, he's going to turn around and try to correct us on some of these. All right, so you ready?
Oh, man, pressure. I feel pressure,
hey,
man.
Look,
yeah.
Look, we had Juan last week for El Salvador, and he was learning. It was like he didn't get to visit. So there's something you didn't know, you will now.
No, I appreciate
All
that.
All right,
yeah.
So here we go. There are three official languages spoken in Peru: Spanish, Quechua, and Aymara. And once you travel into the Amazon jungle, the indigenous people speak an additional 13 different languages. So that is intense. Yeah, that is intense. All right. So the capital of Peru is Lima. So for those of you guys who are going, that's where you're going to go if you want to find modern culture and everything. So there you go. The population is over 29 million people, and it's very multi-ethnic country. So the population is it's a combination of groups that have inhabited the land for like five centuries. And as a result, the people there treat their nationality as like a citizenship and not so much an ethnicity. So in 2007, the lost city Machu Picchu, which is, I'm dying to go, was voted as the new seventh wonder of the world. And in case you didn't know, they didn't have wheels or any type of technology like that to actually build it, which means people turned around and grabbed hundreds of rocks. You had bunch of men just literally dragging rocks over the mountainside just to turn around and be able to build that wonder. So more impressive when you think about it that way. And some of those stones were actually like more than 50 pounds. So Jaime, have you visited there?
You know what? I was planning my first trip to go to Machu Picchu. I've been up north, but not to Machu Picchu. And I literally had everything planned out. And then, you know, COVID.
Oh, man.
Yeah, COVID ruined everything because I had studied so much on like, you know, they say like, you know, ancient aliens built that city.
Hey, yo, for real, I'm dying to go there. My daughter's been there. So I have a daughter who's an artist and she's already been there. She climbed, she was in Machu Picchu and then she climbed another one. I think it's my Picchu or something like that, which is supposedly higher and more dangerous. So, but we'll talk about all that later. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, so Peru has the highest sand dune in the world. The Cerro Blanco sand dune towers over the Satura Desert, and it's like 3,860 feet. That's crazy. All right. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are nuts about trying to figure out, hey, I want to go to sand dunes, the deepest canyon in the world is in Peru. And I'm going to butcher this name, but I'm going to try it. It's called the Cotahuasi Canyon. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Ah, there you go. Look at that. Ah.
Good job, the Latin.
All right. Which has a depth of 10,605 feet. So now, let's see. Peru is home to the mysterious Nazca Lines. And the Nazca Lines are a collection of more than like 70 giant human and animal geoglyphs. And some people believe that, you know, for those of you guys who believe in ancient aliens, that an ancient alien landed strip. Yeah, I knew you were going to go there. While others think it was some form of like sophisticated astronomical calendar. So it's kind of funny. There you go. So for all you alien buffs. Now, the cool thing about Peru, and Jaime, you can let me know if this is true. I have no idea, but it sounds really yummy. You can eat over 3,000 varieties of potatoes in Peru.
That is true. That is true. We are potato addicts. Yeah, but there's like yuca, there's like purple corn, blue corn. Yeah, orange. Just so many, like, well, that I'm talking about corn. I'm sorry. As far as the because there's a lot of different corn there too. But as far as the potato, there's so many potatoes, it's not even funny. Like at the grocery store, you're like, how many different potatoes can there be?
Which one's your favorite?
Yuca.
Yuca? Yeah, but is yuca a potato? You got me now. Yuca's, it's a star, it's part of that, man, because yuca's a Dominican Puerto Rican thing. We eat the hell out of that.
Yeah, it's a starch, so it is considered a potato. It's a root.
Ah, okay, we're getting hungry. We haven't even made to the food section yet. All right, the world's largest bird is native to Peru's Andes Mountains. So the giant Andean condor weighs like 27 pounds and it stands 4 feet high and has a wingspan of over 14 feet. So that's insane. That is insane. All right, so we kind of know this just because of where Peru is. It's got like a lot of Amazon. So Peru is one of the most biologically diverse countries in the world. It's one of the best places to go to for sheer range. Between Manu National Park, it records over like 1,000 species of birds, 1,000 species of butterfly, and like 287 species of reptiles. So those are some interesting facts. The last one is like Peru has a national tree, and it's called the Cinchona or Cinchona. Cinchona. And the tree gets its name for the Countess of Chinchon, which is Chinchon. There you go. So there you go. We get all kinds of funny stuff. See, we come up with these facts out of nowhere. And the story goes that the wife of Viceroy of Peru came down with malaria in 1683, and she was given tea from the bark of this tree, and it made like a full recovery. So the bark of the cinchona tree contains an ingredient called, I think it's called quinine, and it is still used today as medicine for treating malaria. So there you go. All right, so now let's learn about the flag. Go ahead, Bojica.
So the flag, okay, so the color red represents the bloodshed for independence, and I'm a firm believer that if you're going to claim independence, you're going to have to shed some blood, right? The white symbolizes purity and peace. The colors themselves are believed to symbolize lasting impact that the Incas have had in the country. The coat of arms is made of the cinchona tree, which this is bananas to me, right? The vincuña. I didn't know that there were different types of camels, right? But the vincuña is one of the most amazing animals, or one of the two animals in the South America relative to the llama. So in the coat of arms, there is a vincuña represented in the coat of arms and also represents the fauna, which represents freedom, heroism, national pride. I've met so many Peruvian people and the food in Miami and stuff like that. The culture to me is amazing. And one of the cool things is that flag, right? You know, it's celebrated on the 7th of June and it represents the anniversary of the battle in Africa. And that was in 1880 between the forces of Peru and Chile. And it's just amazing of where it sits and the different, you know, nationalities and that region, right? And that battle. So super interesting to me, right? And now we're going to jump into the national heroes. The national heroes of Peru, we're talking about Ramón Castilla y Marquesado from 1997 to 1867, was the Peruvian caudillo and president of Peru 4 times. His participation in the commanding role of the Army of the Libertadores helped Peru become an independent nation. Later, he led the country when the economy boomed due to the exploitation of guano deposits. Guano! Who remembers guano? Can anybody remember guano in a particular movie? El Pet Detective. Yeah, what? Jim Carrey, El Pet Detective? Guano? Right? Castilla's government and remembered for having abolished slavery and modernized the state. Abolishing slavery. That's my dude right there. You can find his face on the Peruvian coin. And Jose Garavier Tupac Amaru Shakur. That's my dude. From 1738 to 1781, known as Tupac Amaru II, was the leader of an indigenous uprising in 1780 against the Spanish. In Peru! Of course, the Spanish. Come on now. Although unsuccessful, he later became a mythical figure in the Peruvian struggle for independence. So, and something Peru, El Bojique gonna spit it out. Pa que tú lo sepa, loco. What was Peru called before? It was called Beru, right? The conquistadors called Peru the Inca heartlands. Despite lying well to the north, Beru came to signify all that is also laid to the south. So all of what is called, you know, the Incas, well, the Inca Empire, right? And the heartland is Beru, Peru. So, yeah, and something Latino, El Bojique, signing out.
Now, Miss Rocky, you got holidays.
Yes. So, I'm going to start with February, guys. Fiesta de la Candelaria. This is a two-week-long festival. It's the largest and most famous in Peru, both indigenous and Catholic traditions. So, if this is something you guys want to do, definitely check it out. It's one of the largest in South America as a whole. It celebrates the Virgin of la Candelaria, the patron saint of the town of Puno. Lots of music and over 40,000 participants dance with beautiful and elaborate costumes. So like I said, I'm into all that. So February, that's the time to go and check it out. Fiesta de la Candelaria. All right. So now in June, we have Inti Raymi, which basically is the ancient Inca festival of the sun. It's one of the most traditional Peruvian festivals. It is indigenous in design and untouched by Catholic tradition, held annually on June 24th. Its historical and cultural significance definitely make it worth checking out among the many Peruvian festivals. So if you guys check that out, let me know. Also in September, Mistura Culinary Festival, which is the Peruvian food, is some of the best in the world. Lima, seriously, like come on, we all gotta do that. And that's my birthday month, let's do it. Lima in particular features what is probably South America's most impressive culinary scene. So to all my foodies out there, that's the time to go. So, you know, over 200 restaurants, bars, and outdoor vendors bring the best dishes to the table. Last but not least, in November is also Puno Week, celebrated around November 5th. The purpose of Puno Week, and that's P-U-N-O, is to celebrate the legendary birth of one Manco Capac, said to be the first Inca. They reenact his arrival on the shores of Lake Titicaca. And that's a, wraps it up.
That was awesome.
I'm telling you, bro, my favorite, the biggest one that I saw there was the Fiesta de Candelaria. I heard it's huge. Like, it's massive. All right, Tigera, give us some celebrity showcases from Peru.
Well, we have some exciting stuff. I have some sports players, some celebrities. I'm going to start off with Claudio Pizarro, born in Peru, soccer player. He's a retired Peruvian football striker who plays for Bayern Munich. He is known for his scoring abilities and headers. In October 2010, Pizarro surpassed the 133rd goals record, making him the top foreign scorer in German football history. As of September 2013, Pizarro was the ninth most successful striker in the history of the Bundesliga with 167 goals. He is currently serving as an ambassador for Bayern Munich. And now I have an actor, Henry Ian Cusick. Actor Chavez, his real name is Henry Ian Cusick Chavez. He's a Scottish Peruvian stage, television, and film actor. He is well known for his role as U.S. television series Lost, for which he received a Primetime Emmy Award nomination. He also starred in the ABC drama Scandal. And then I have Mr. Pop artist Gianmarco Signago. Gianmarco Signago is a Peruvian singer-songwriter. He has won the Latin Grammys Awards to the Best Singer-Songwriter Album three times. first in 2005 for his album Resucitar, in 2011 for his album Días Nuevo, in 2012 for his album 20 Años. Gianmarco was named UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador in Peru. Not only is he talented, but his mother is well-known Peruvian actress and singer Maria Regina Alcover Rueta, and his father was the late Peruvian composer and singer Javier Oscar Florencio Sinago, known in the musical world as Joe Danova. And then I have some extras that I wanted to throw in there. Like, we have crossing to the, you know, how I like to do the American industry. I have Natalie Kelly, 35. She was the fast. She was in the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. Then we have Mia Owens, 13, stage actress. She was in Utopia. Bilal Paleste, I had to bring this in. This is interesting. 84, actress and the widow of American actor John Wayne. I had to bring that in. And then we have Katie Escobel, 31, YouTube star, influencer. And of course, I left the best for last. Jaime Ceballos, actor in the Marvel's Cloak and Dagger. Wow, I'm so honored to say this. Woohoo! And this is all for celebrity news tonight.
All right, Ms. Rocky, you have our very first artist spotlight. Go for it.
All right, guys. So I bring to you from Lima, Peru, Nova Lima. Shares a passion from traditional Afro-Peruvian music and global DJ culture. Grammy nominated, they stand in common ground, bridging past and future, uniting tradition and innovation. Here's their song, Como Yo, by Nova Lima.
Don Manuel de Don Porfirio llegó un día y sorprendió. Escuchó con la sonrisa y luego nos enseñó. Muchos pueblos y cantinas por el mundo recorrió. Quedó siempre con recuerdo en cada bar al que llegó. Y dijo: compadre, yo solo le pido, como dice el viejo vals, que el día de mi muerte no derramen lágrimas. Quiero que canten mi canción, quiero verlos desde arriba, quiero ver celebración. Gocen la vida como yo.
Gocen la vida como yo.
Alegría.
Gocen la vida como yo.
Vamos a gozar la vida.
Gocen la vida como yo. Como yo.
Ay, qué rico baila mi gente.
Gocen la vida.
Ay.
vida como yo. Vos en la vida. Vos en la vida como yo. Vos en la vida. Vos en la vida como yo.
Yo, that was amazing, man. Like, I love the sound. It was really cool. So, Miss Rocky, where can we find them?
We can follow them on Instagram at @NovaLima_official. And you can listen to them on Spotify and YouTube Music. So go check them out.
I know. Go follow them. And we will be playing some more of their music throughout the week. So now let's go into my favorite part of it. We're going to go to the top dishes from Peru. And it's actually one of the top food destinations in the world. You got Michelin star chefs from all over the world flying to Lima and Cusco just to learn how to do a little bit of their mastering for cooking for the people even back home. So Peru is actually home of one of the best superfoods in the world, like the camu camu fruit. And it grows in the Amazon rainforest. It's like a higher concentration of vitamin C. So if you're looking for vitamin C, there you go. And if you're feeling sick, go to Peru. So stop by the local supermarket over there and you will pretty much get a lot of what you need for your immune system. So now let's start from the top. So number one, and Jaime, I'm hoping that you have eaten some of these. And even if you haven't eaten them there, I'm pretty sure you have eaten at home. But I know you can't eat this one here because we don't allow it. So the first one is cuy, which is a traditional dish that's made from roasted guinea pig. All right, so Jaime, you have eaten that?
No.
You haven't had one? No guinea pig?
I'll have to pass. I'll have to pass on that.
That's a hard pass?
A hard pass.
So it's served crispy and completed with the head. So they leave the head, they leave the legs, and they leave the eyeballs just so it can look at you while you're looking at it about to take its bite. But ironically, it's a healthier choice than llama meat, and it has a lot of protein. So there you go. Ironic. That's incredible. I don't know if I could be looking at my dinner while it's looking at me back. All right. So ceviche. Oh, it's amazing. So here you go. It is undoubtedly the most popular dish in Peru. Ceviche is best known internationally as like Peruvian sushi. And it's got diced fish with a lot of like lemon garnish with red onions, chopped cilantro, fresh seafood. And, you know, it gives it an appetizing and pleasant presentation. It also has perfect texture and explosion of flavors. So if you haven't had ceviche is just amazing. I know you guys be cooking that, Jaime, in your house, right?
Nah. To be honest, I go out to eat Peruvian. You can't make it in the house, right? At least I can't. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. You got to get some classes, though, man.
Yeah, maybe. But I just... man, honestly, you know... in Miami, where my father makes it.
The MIA wins. So we're going to probably represent it because I know that this week I will be going out to one of the Peruvian restaurants here in LA. We're going to try and search for it and make sure we go to the best one. Hey, don't tell me good luck. We're going to find one. And we're going to try and find ones that give like authentic dishes, just like we did last time when we went to the Jaragua to go eat El Salvadorian food. So let's go. Lomo saltado, which is a Peruvian, it's a traditional Peruvian Creole dish that is very delicious. They got a lot of fine diced meat, very juicy, and has a pleasant aroma. So it looks like everybody here was saltando for that. All right. So everybody clean your keyboards. So anticuchos. These are like skewers of meat grilled. Okay.
Yo.
Hi, man. Is it really grilled beef heart?
Yeah. You know what? When I didn't know what it was, I was like, now that I know what it is, it kind of freaks me out, but it's so good.
So I know it doesn't sound very interesting. It's actually, you know, probably doesn't even sound delicious, but from my understanding, like you're saying, it's banging.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's off the hook.
And sure. They use it as what, like an, is it like an appetizer? Is that the way it is? Or is it an actual service dish?
No, it's like a dish, but you eat it with like, they usually give you that with like bread and hot sauce and you kind of make it all work.
So I know that they say in Peru, they serve it with like corn and yellow potatoes and things like that. So is that the way it's done? Over, like, are they separate with the way it's served here in the United States as opposed to how it's served here?
It's street food, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Okay. So that makes sense. So that makes sense as to why it's like that. Okay. So ají de gallina, which is like a Peruvian chicken stew, and it consists of like a soup made of milk, chicken, rice, and it has a lot of other ingredients, but it's got, you know, like a spicy, delicious flavor.
Yeah, I think it's saffron. Yeah, it's good.
It's so good. I hate soup, by the way. So for me, this dish is a hard pass. All right. So here we go. Causa rellena alimeña. There you go. So layered potato casserole. Now this would catch my attention and I would practically die for it because that's crazy. So it is another traditional recipe of Peru, and it's most commonly found as like an entree in a lot of the cuisines. And it's got yellow potatoes, and it's pretty much a cold dish. So it's got like a creamy, softy consistency, and it has different layers. So most of them have ingredients like hard-boiled eggs, olives, corns, avocado. And let's see, if you have a lot of flavors and texture, it's like a gourmet experience. But I'm thinking of it as like a mess, because for me, I would just be tearing this up. I don't know. So, rocoto relleno, which is stuffed red peppers, is next on our list. And this is an appetizer, and that originates from Arequipa. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Arequipa. I'm knocking these. And it's emblematic of, like, you know, the Peruvian cuisine. And the dish is, like, the base of it is rocoto, which is, like, a type of, like, hot Peruvian pepper. And it's filled with minced meat and cheese. How did you eat it?
Exactly like that.
Ah, do you make it? I mean, does your family make it? So I'm going to say your family, because I know you don't cook this, but does your family make it when you go back to Miami?
My father cooks.
Oh.
My father's a chef. That's why.
Oh.
Not a mystery chef, but he's a chef.
That is insane.
Yeah, he's good.
Does he cook in his own, like, do you have a restaurant, or he's just cooking at home for everybody?
No, he's cooking at home for everybody, but the thing is, my father, when he came to this country, he got kind of like, that could be a whole nother podcast, but he wound up by accident getting a job at a Marriott hotel. And he had never cooked in his life. He was a cook there. You need, you know, a hustle. You got to work.
Oh, no, for sure. Man, that's crazy. A job.
And then within like, it's a very long story, but within 2 years of coming to the United States, he became the executive chef of a very famous restaurant in New York City called Pietro's. So now he's like, he owns a construction company in Miami, but he's like semi-retired from the kitchen, but he's not. So it's like, you know, he was doing some like, what do you call it when you design menus for restaurants?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, gotta open up a food truck.
Yeah, right?
All right, so we're going to throw Taku up. All right, yeah. So let's see. Pollo a la brasa, which is roasted chicken. Oh, this one got me. The most consumed dish in Peru. Literally, the most consumed dish in Peru, which is marinated chicken. And it's cooked in a special oven that basically rotates for several minutes. And we've seen them, especially if you go to DR, you see them, where we have the pollo just a la brasa, just rotating. And it's served with crunchy fries and salad. So the most common dish, it's so common, let's put it this way, that it has its own holiday. So kind of like the pupusas, it's got a holiday. So the July 16th is celebrated as the Dia del Pollo a la Brasa. Man, when you're so good, you got your own holiday. That's crazy. All right, and somebody mentioned this one before, papas a la huancaina, right?
La huancaina, yeah.
So Jaime, how popular is this dish?
Man, you have to get that as like an appetizer always.
Is it? It's an appetizer?
Yeah.
So it's huancaina potatoes, and supposedly it consists of like milk, saltine crackers, cheese. It's got peppers all blended together, and they just make like, it blends together in a cream, and then it's poured over the slices of boiled yellow potatoes. All right. Carapulcra. And this one, I think, is one that everybody would probably love. So it's like a special stew, and it's made out of dehydrated potato. So somebody's going to have to let me know what that tastes like, because I've never had a dehydrated potato. But it's either got pork or chicken, And then it's dressed in a combination of like onion, garlic. And fun fact, baked peanuts are actually added to the dish. And that's what gives it its flavor. So while it's cooking, they add it on there. And that's what gives it its unique flavor. It's served with rice or yuca. Here you go. Pachamanca, the most eaten in the Andes region of Peru. And this is particularly like an important dish for the Peruvian culture because it existed all the way back from the times of the Inca Empire. And it consists of, see, I would tear this up. So it would consist of red meat, lamb, pork, cuy, which as we know is guinea pig, and chicken all together. So it's like a buffet of meat. And then it's cooked like on top of hot stones with grass along with potatoes, sweet potatoes, corn, and green lima beans, and of course, yuca. So if you're still hungry after that, you got an appetite. Jaime, are you over there, you know, turning around and having guinea pigs and selling them for export?
No. That's a good idea, but not yet.
Because we got a lot of guinea pigs here. They're surviving. So, I mean, we could turn around and just create like an industry, you and I. Just make it together. In, you know, guinea pig export. I don't know. Might go for that. Papa rellena, which is actually, I think that they have this pretty much in everywhere. But it's a popular street dish. So this is another one where you can just get them off the cart. Normally, it's served in the capital of Peru, so in Lima. And it's made of like a sort of dough with some lightly fried potatoes and the filling. And then normally has like meat and onions, olives, all inside. So papa rellena. I'm pretty sure some of you guys have had it in your own version of it. So let's see. Arroz chaufa peruano. And the dish originated from the fusion of Chinese and Peruvian cultures. So those mixed in together. And the dish mainly consists of like fried rice. And it accompanied by like bits of chicken, meat, and egg tortilla. And it's an absolute classic from what I understand. So, and then it's like, most of these are like sold in special stalls. I think they're called shifas. Yeah, and it's something cool. So the pisco sour is apparently Peru's national drink. Now the pisco sour is a Peruvian brandy. And this is why Miss Rocky loves it so much, because it's liquor. That's mixed with lemons, sugar, water, egg whites, ice, and bitters. What is bitters, Jaime?
I don't know, but I have it in the house because it's so, it goes well with this. And if you ever have a stomach ache, I think it's like a liqueur. It's not enough to get you drunk. It's made out of herbs and spices. Fun fact, if you put like bitters with ginger ale and lime, it tastes like whiskey. But it also, it's good for like A, a hangover, or B, if you have a stomach ache.
That's crazy. Yeah, he's over here giving out remedies. That's all we got to know. So we'll turn around and give out bitters with Vicks, and that'll cure cancer. All right. Yeah. So ironically enough, this drink was actually developed in the 1920s by an American bartender. So it's kind of a, you know, it's interesting that it became Peru's national drink. And so you can also try this version of the drink called Chicano, and that's made without the egg whites for like, you know, tigera, who can't do the eggs. All right, so Miss Rocky, give us our second artist spotlight.
All right, guys. So we have this band that also hails from Lima, Peru. They are called Canacu y El Tigre. It's a psychedelic indie folk act that experiments with wild tunes featuring a range of instruments like ukuleles, toy synthesizers, and acoustic guitars. So here is their new single, Abre los brazos como un avión.
Abre los brazos como un avión, sueña conmigo en el cielo. Nunca viví en este pueblo, pero tengo sus recuerdos. Abre los brazos como un avión, sueña conmigo en el cielo. Nunca viví en este pueblo, pero tengo sus recuerdos. De abusar sus
crecemos distintos porque todos somos otros. Y en esos otros nosotros la nostalgia es puro instinto. La vida es un laberinto, por eso invito a volar. No hay fronteras que cruzar, mi mapamundi es la infancia. Acortemos la distancia, volvamos un río al mar. El mundo es solo una esquina y ni yo lo imaginaba. El camino no se acaba cuando crees que se termina, porque nadie se imagina que el acto de caminar casi siempre es regresar al puerto donde sales. Por eso somos iguales si salimos a buscar sin visado y sin pasaje el valor que no sabías que antes de viajar tenía para iniciar este viaje. No lleves más equipaje que tu propio corazón. Todos los lenguajes son el mismo en todos los puertos, siempre que lleves abiertos los brazos como un avión.
Abre los brazos como un avión, sueña conmigo en el cielo. Nunca viví en este pueblo, pero tengo su recuerdo. Crecemos distinto.
Abre los brazos como un avión.
Se ve el horizonte. Nunca viví en este pueblo. Todos crecemos distinto.
Abre los brazos como un avión.
Abre los brazos como un avión.
Sueña conmigo en el cielo.
Sueña conmigo en el cielo.
Nunca viví en este pueblo.
Man, that was actually amazing. I love the like serenity of the song. It's awesome. Like really good. So Ms. Rocky, where can you find them?
You can follow Canuco y el Tigre on Instagram at Canuco y el Tigre, and that's K-A-N-A-K-U-E-L-I-T-G-R-E on Facebook, Spotify, and also YouTube.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, so let's start talking about places to visit. So we talked about food, we talked about facts. Now, where do we go? So, Chachapoyas. And that lies like amid in the mountains, the capital of where the Amazons were. So, Amazonas. And you can see their stunning natural landscapes. They got a lot of architectural sites that surround it. A lot of monuments, colonial buildings, plenty of restaurants. From here, you can turn around and you can go to the sarcography of Quirajua or Carajía. Or the ancient stone city of Cuelá, which is the largest pre-Inca ruins in South America. So the second one is Paracas National Reserve. And so here you find another set of a lot of archaeological sites, beautiful beaches and wildlife, and people take a lot of boats because they want to go to the Ballestas Island to look at the rock formations. A lot of seabirds, seals. So for the most part, it's a good place if you want to go to that Paracas Peninsula. And then that small town, there's a lot of restaurants, bars, and hotels, and you can take, you know, you can ask operators to help you see some of the ancient and archaeological sites there. So you got Chan Chan, which is outside of the city of Trujillo, and Chan Chan is another most impressive archaeological site. So we're talking archaeology. You know, there's a lot of it in this country. And so Chan Chan is one of the most impressive one of those, and it is the largest pre-Columbian city discovered so far. And it's set like right on the mouth of the Moche Valley. It's a desolate and arid spot. And this is the world's highest tropical mountain. And the highest peak is like 6,768 meters. You can find more than 600 glistening glaciers there and countless alpine lakes and rivers. I'm not sure who travels over here, but I'm pretty sure they're going to have a lot of problems breathing because some of these places are really high. And then you have Huacachina, which is just outside of the city of Ica and southwest of Peru. And Huacachina is a popular place to visit because it's like surrounded by the dunes, which we were talking about before. And it looks like one giant mirage. So you can go to where there's like gently waving palm trees and nothing but just sand stretching the entire way. So a lot of people go here for a lot of outdoors activities, such as sandboarding, quad biking, dune buggy rides. So it's got a lot of, you know, popular pastimes that you can go through there. That's definitely a location for me because I definitely want to go dune bugging and quad biking. So that for me is like a must. All right, so Mancora. Mancora has a lot of beach bars, seafood restaurants, and for those of you like Ms. Rocky that are into the nightlife, that's where you go, you know. And so it's hot during the evenings and then, like, you know, hot and crazy at night and then lazy during the day because mainly everything that happens during the day is containing the beaches. And so what you can turn around and do is you can go and swim with the turtles there and you can soak in the hot springs, which are the Poza de Barro. All right, so let's see. I'm going to go back down. Let's see. We'll go to Lima, which is the capital of Peru. If you're looking for the center, Lima is your place, as Peru's capital is the largest city. Lima is home to over 9 million people. You'll find both traditional and modern architecture here, obviously. Amazing for food, ravishing nightclubs and bars. And make sure that you visit the craft markets. And I'm told that the tourist-friendly green suburbs of Miraflores, which overflows the antique shop and bars, is like the place to go. So, here we go. Colca Canyon is one of Peru's most popular tourist destinations and is the world's second deepest canyon with a great scenery. And its size, the scale of the canyon, like, it's huge. It's staggering. So many people who visit Colca Canyon start in Chivé before trekking along the scenic parts. And then from there, you can start seeing ravines. And you see a lot of death-defying drops. So if one of you guys have, like, the courage to start doing rappelling, that's where you want to go. I'm not into any death-defying drops, so we're going to skip that part. So here we start going into some of my favorites, because these are actually all sacred and are going into the same place. So the Sacred Valley, and once the heartland of the Inca Empire, the Sacred Valley is, one of the Incas, the valley is in the Andes, and it's close to Cusco, the ancient city of Machu Picchu. The valley was appreciated by the Incas due to, like, a special geographical and, like, climate qualities, which is what I was saying before. There's so many different things out there that so many different climates, so many different geographical ways of, like, seeing the country. So it's perfect for any of you guys who love the sightseeing aspect of it. You'll see a lot of colonial towns, some remote villages, colorful markets, really cool stuff. So if you're into hiking, the Inca Trail is the one for you. So Peru's Inca Trail is one of the most famous treks in the world. And the hike takes 4 days. So if you go through, the end goal is to get to the mythical Machu Picchu, which is that lost city of Incas we were talking about. And before that, you'll go into like a bunch of ancient ruins along the way. So pretty cool. And let's see, Arequipa. Arequipa is Peru's second largest city, and it's surrounded by volcanoes. Volcanoes is crazy. So it includes, let's see, El Misti, and it's known as the White City because its buildings were crafted out of, like, white volcano rock. So it's kind of interesting. And if you go there, you'll see the Lady of Ampato, which is an astonishing, well-preserved, frozen body of a young teenage Inca girl who was sacrificed by the gods during the 1400s, and you can find her there in, like, the Catholic University of Santa Maria. So that's interesting. That's almost like when you go to Pompeii over in Italy. So there you go. Yeah. And now my two favorite. Here's the last one. So Cusco, for those of you guys who are, like, huge on ancient history, Cusco was once the capital of the Incan Empire, and it holds the title of the most archaeological capital of the Americas. So it's one of Peru's most visited destinations, and it gives access to Machu Picchu, which is where we're all going. But there you can turn around and you go, you can see the Plaza de Armas and, you know, the San Pedro Market and the center of Quechua culture. So if you want to see, you know, Quechua culture, that's where you go. You go to Cusco. And end up right at the end, Machu Picchu. All right, so if you go to Machu Picchu, come on, it's one of the seven wonders of the world, all right? And it's an abandoned city, but the thing that makes it so unique is that it's so well preserved. So you can actually see houses, temples, fountains, like bats, in addition to, like, the agricultural landscape. So it's kind of interesting. My daughter went there, like I said, and then she turned around and she hiked an even more dangerous part, which is Huayna Picchu. And that is actually, it's straight up So, but it gets such an amazing view. But they were, she was talking about how you can barely walk on some of these edges. They're like holding on. So like, yeah, any slip and you are gone. Those are some of the most amazing places to visit while you're in Peru. But you have our last and final artist spotlight. What is it?
Yes, finalmente, Laguna Pai. So they started playing back in 2008, also from Lima, Peru. Laguna Pai, simple, the simple objective is growing, deepening their consciousness and developing their own spirituality in order to raise their steps a little on this earth, sharing the experience along the way with those who want to listen. When asked about their music, the band answers, "Our music is our therapy, our refuge, and our respite." From the latest album, Impulso, here is Laguna Pai's El Tambor.
Que suenen los ríos, que suenen las olas del mar, un nuevo desafío, reaprender a escuchar y con nuestra mano.
Reggaeton we got going, and Bob Marley going at it. That was amazing, right?
Yes, I love it. It's very Bob Marley-ish.
It's actually very relaxing. So we're going to sit there by the beach. We got ourselves a drink, and then we are going to listen. Yeah, and we're actually going to be talking with Laguna Pi this week. So stay tuned. It may be an IG Live, it may be an interview, but they will be live. They will be with us, and we'll be able to find out more about the band. All right, so let's have our final segment of this evening. We're going to talk about Peruvian slang. So we've done it for Mexico, we've done it for El Salvador, we've done it for Bolivia. So let's find some of the most interesting sayings in Peru. So Jaime, how many times do you guys talk slang? Peruvian slang, to be specific, not New York slang. Those are two different ones.
Right. I mean, you know what's funny? Like, I'm reading the words that you guys have, but like, I never knew it was slang. I thought it was proper Spanish. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? The funny part is we have a lot of words in Puerto Rico where we turn around and we just basically conclude the word. So, el closet, which is basically the closet, even though that's not the real word for it. But here we go. So, al toque. So, what does al toque mean, Jaime?
Right away.
How would you use it? So, if you were going up to your parents and so forth, how would you use it?
I need you to come over here, and I say al toque.
Bacán, which I think means cool.
Yeah. El se cree muy bacán.
El se cree muy bacán. So this one is actually, we had this last week. So it's the same. Isn't it chela? So that means, it means beers, right?
Yeah. I think it's very South American.
I think so, because when we had Sasha on for Bolivia, she mentioned that, dame dos chelas, which is kind of interesting. Well, un par de chelas.
Dame una cristal cerveza. Yes.
Una cristal. Yeah, but that's not, we're saying chela is beer.
Yeah, that's a Peruvian beer. That's a cristal is Peruvian beer.
Oh, okay.
That's what
I had
this past weekend. Yeah.
Oh, well, I have a chela right down the street, and it's called Chela's Beer Garden. So check that out.
All right. So let's see, chévere, which actually is pretty universal. I think most of these are pretty, it means cool, great, right. Awesome. Yeah, I think most people do that. And this one is kind of weird. It says habla, which means hello. Is that right? Because I thought habla means just to speak.
It's like, hello, talk to me.
Yeah, but it's like when you make a phone, like when you're on the phone with someone, you know, yeah, they would say like, you know, habla Jaime, you know. Like what? Right. You know,
it means speak. Like, habla, talk
yeah,
to me.
Like what's up, bro? You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so paja, which is the same thing. Eh. Oh, but in Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, it's something else. So we'll just use the proper version of it, which is paja, which means great and awesome, instead of, you know, the Dominican version of
that. Tremenda paja.
Yeah.
He knows. He's like, yeah.
Like, paja is more used for, like, instead of, like, your paja, it's kind of like an alternative to, like, bacán, but it's also, like, a thing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, like, look at that car. Like, it's like very object based. Like, oh, qué paja, you know?
Oh.
Okay, so let me see. Pata de alma.
Yeah.
Pata de alma. It's his best friend?
Yeah.
So we call them patas, which is foot in some places. So
right. Pata is used as, like, brother, you know?
Well, if you really think about it, dogs have pata in their dogs.
Right, exactly. That too?
Mm-hmm. So let's... Qué roche, which means what a shame. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
All right. So we go turn around and we say to somebody, hey, man, that's what a shit. You're like, qué roche, man. All right. Here we go.
Exactly.
Soroche. It's actually, I think it's altitude sickness, which I'm pretty sure every Peruvian at this point is used to. But if I was traveling, that would be something we would get, right? Soroche, right. Which is like altitude sickness. So that's pretty good. All right. Ya fuiste. And that's pretty common. Ya fuiste is like a moment of past and missed opportunity. All right. So those are some of the Peruvian sayings that we have over there. So let's play a game. So Jaime, we're gonna put you on the spot. Okay. All right, so we play a game called Two Truths and a Lie. And what we do is we will give you, you have to give us three different facts about yourself, but one of them has to be a complete lie. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, so go ahead. Go ahead and give me the first fact.
I'm 6'1".
Not to offend you, but I don't know of any Peruvian that's 6'1". Top right. So they're already knocking. So they're saying it's true for them. So all right, let's go ahead and give me the second fact.
I have 25 tattoos.
25 tattoos.
I do.
He's an actor. I'm going to say this is true. I'm going to say this is true. And I'm going to assume that it's probably like, you know, yeah, I'm going to say this is true. This is probably a definitely true one. All right. What's the last one?
I have a cat.
That's a lie.
So let's see if he has a cat. I'm gonna say he's a dog guy.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say he's a dog guy. But then again, he's always traveling, so the cat might be
more like a dog type of guy.
All right,
but I do think he's 6'1".
So you guys think he's 6'1"?
I do.
What about the tattoos?
I think so too.
All right, so you guys think he doesn't have a cat? That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right, so Jaime, which one is the fact, or which one's the false one?
Which is the false one? I have a cat.
Okay, so that makes sense. That's what everybody thought was false. So hey, this is the first time in the episode that they actually got it right. Like the entire crew got it right.
Yeah.
I didn't think you had a cat either. So
all right.
Yeah, I know you didn't have a guinea pig because we eat those. Yeah, there you go. With some potatoes, you know what I'm saying?
No, I'm getting hungry.
I know. Oh bro, I was hungry in the last segment. I was sitting there going through the statements, but I was like, all these sayings, and I'm still thinking about the food.
There's a good place in Hollywood. It's called Los Balcones.
Los Balcones. Yes. All right, now I know where I'm going. But do they serve like the authentic stuff, or is it more like
Otamal?
Yeah, there's a little hood spot too, in north of Van Nuys. I forgot. Oh my god, I have to. I think. Oh, Taku Taku.
Taku Taku.
They serve Taku Taku there. Yeah, so that's the name of the place.
That's the name of the place in.
I gotta go there.
I don't know if you're in the valley, but it's in the valley.
I'm in Agora Hills.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's called Taquitis.
Taquitis. Okay. Taquitis. So I've heard of that one.
It's a hood spot. It's in Van Nuys, but it's really good.
Okay. Van Nuys is not that far from here. It's like 13 miles away from here.
Yeah, Taquitis.
So I will try both. Man, that's really good. I'm glad you pointed those out, because I was about to look for a place here in L.A., you know, to try it out.
It's very, very good.
So, Jaime, man, thank you for joining us on the show. If people wanted to follow you or, you know, look you up to see all of your achievements and be able to have a conversation with you, where do they go?
Well, to have a conversation, I guess, and follow, I'm starting to be more active on Clubhouse. And
yes.
You know,
I'm on Clubhouse.
I'm still trying to. Yeah, let's all follow each other on Clubhouse or Instagram.
Definitely.
So I guess when the show comes out, everybody's tagged, so I'll know who to follow and everything like that.
Hey, for sure. And I'm going to get that follow first.
On Instagram. Yeah.
On Instagram, I'll follow you. I don't have Clubhouse.
All right, so follow me. Whoever follows me, I'll follow them back.
Beautiful.
I'm getting back to it. I kind of like needed a little while to be off of it. So I'm just like starting it. I'm shooting something right now in New York that I'm like, I signed an NDA and I'm not allowed to say, but when it comes out, it'll be really cool.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that's kind of why I've been putting all my energy toward that.
So from New York, you're coming to Miami? Because I was going to ask you to bring me some White Castle. Please.
I will. Yeah, I'm going in like a month. I'll see if it stays fresh on the plane.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. But yeah, I'm looking forward to going to Miami. But like I have an NDA that I signed for this thing I'm doing, and it's
you can't talk.
I want to promote it, but like you can't even take pictures.
No,
of
you
this
can't.
Thing.
So it's they make you lock everything up, man.
Right now, yeah, with the way social media is.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, but it's funny. Somebody gonna leak it.
But then they want you to promote it once it comes out.
Of course, that's how it works. Right.
So we get exclusive though. You're gonna hit us first, right?
What? No, 100%.
Yeah, there we go. Absolutely. We get that last battler exclusive.
Yeah, it's Jaime Ceballos or Zavalas.
Zavalas.
You know, how it's pronounced as well, all the time.
Zavalas. Like Jaime Ceballos.
Yeah. Jaime Ceballos.
Or Jamie Ceballos.
No, Jamie Ceballos. Oh.
Jamie Ceballos, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, but it's all good, you know, whatever. It's you know, it's, I like having a name like Jaime because it's not the most common.
No, it's either. Not.
It's not. It's actually, you know, my cousin's probably the only one I know that has that
El
name.
Bojique.
Yeah, yeah. Well, El Bojique, hey.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I definitely learned some facts tonight and some really cool stuff, and I'm gonna follow these artists too, these musicians.
It was great having you on the show. And guys,
it was a pleasure.
That is our show for the evening. We have just visited the country of Peru and discovered some of the most amazing facts that we could possibly find for you. Remember to follow us next week as we go to the country of Ecuador.
Ecuatoriano.
Listen to us on radio89.com. Visit us on Facebook, Instagram, and pretty much on every podcast network. Just look up for the Latin Babbler Show. And that is it, ladies and gentlemen. We are out.
All right.